Hi, this is John Allsop, and well, this used to be the Internet Marketing 5 a day, but now it's going to be Internet Marketing 5 a week because I'm too busy. So that's life and success, absolutely. So what I'm going to do rather than, so I was and am tweeting 5 Internet Marketing tips a day, and that was fine. And I was then expanding on them in this medium. What I'm going to be doing actually now is selecting the top 5 tweets from the week. So this is kind of going to be more about highlights. So let's kick off, basically. And I'll do it on a Monday. You know, we'll see how it goes. The first one is the idea that, now this is an article, it was back on August the 27th that I tweeted this, and it was just a really interesting article, supposedly from Ford, saying that they were having problems persuading young people to buy cars. And the idea is, or the background idea, the background feeling that I got from it was this recession, this financial crisis has, you know, we're not going to get back to normal. It's some things very significantly changed. And the feeling that I got from the article was that perhaps young people can't even dream of owning a new Ford car. Or perhaps their aspirations are elsewhere, perhaps the planet, perhaps more community, perhaps community transport, perhaps, you know, greenness and so on, and economy, and perhaps looking wealthy, even though owning a Ford car isn't wealthy, but in among their peers, looking like you spent a lot of money could well be out of fashion. And the other issue, the big issue I think for me, is if you have an economy and a world that is in turmoil, if the financial institutions on whom we depend for our pensions are thieves, are unstable, then we can't rely on our pension anymore. If here in the UK the NHS is kind of sailing off and becoming privatised, on the face of it for efficiency, but I think many people feel that we will be paying for the medical care that we need in the end. We know that our houses are plundered for our end-of-life care. We know if we're young, and we want an education, we're going to have £20, £30, £1,000 of debt to pay off for our education. And so everywhere we look, we know we're going to have to pay for things that we used to get free or as part of our taxes. Where that leads us is, and we know also that our personal debt is too high, and so people are paying off their credit cards and paying off loans and so on and not taking on anything else. And then, when they've paid it all off, they're going to save. And so this is all about trying to create a sense of safety for ourselves where society is not providing that. And so within that context, it's not surprising that Ford are finding it difficult to sell a car where a car is a depreciating asset. If they were selling gold, you know, maybe, but that's my kind of feeling for the background to that story, but you can read it yourself. I get you the link. Probably not. Okay. Probably not. There you go. Next up, the idea that actually this comes from education. And the idea is that images are far more memorable than words alone. And they bring up to 89% improvement in recall and skill transfer. So skill transfer is something, is an educational goal. But in marketing, what we want is people to remember us. Images are far more memorable than words alone and bring up to 89% improvement in recall and skill transfer. So if you have a page on a website and you haven't got a photograph on there, putting a photograph on could bring you that 89% improvement in recall and skill transfer and whatever that translates to in marketing terms, perhaps conversion. So you could near double the effectiveness of that page with a good image. Now, I'm not sure if it was that source or another source that was saying, take a picture and add balloon captions. Not a caption below, but add captions within the image. Now, you know, if you use Facebook, if you use Pinterest, that kind of format, just putting words on a picture, has become very viral. It's the standard way, if you like, of creating a viral message to go out. So this is what's kind of behind that. So you could use that on your website. Now, obviously, with the web, you know, you might be better. There are perhaps better ways of doing it than purely graphic. You could put the images on top as text so that, you know, people with visual impairments can still read them and all that kind of stuff. So there's a bit more kind of technical stuff to do. Obviously, alt text would do that, but just in terms of usability, there are probably better ways of doing that on the web than just creating a solid graphic and just uploading it as a photograph. But anyway, that's another discussion. The point is, use images for conversion and for recall and to get your messages out there. Okay, now, next up was a way of eliciting the real reasons. The book that I'm getting this from calls it uncovery, and it's the idea of it's a method for discovering things about your market that perhaps you didn't know, and so if you get asked, you're the business owner, if you get asked about your customers, you will say kind of a well-worn description of a model that's in your head of how your business works, and that's valuable and it's fine, but it may well not be detailed enough, and it may well not be real. So if you want to find out why people do business with you, you know, you're going to say, well, we've been in business since 1913 and we offer great value and all that. No, that's not it. If you ask, so how are you going to find out? Well, one way, without actually going to the customers, is to ask the staff in your business, what do first-time visitors to our shop, hotel, theatre, whatever, tell us what the first time visitors tell us when they come. And those that's just one question out of the uncovery process, but it seems like a useful question. So go out and ask that question of your people. What the first time visitors tell us, what do they say? And that will give you a much better picture of why people are doing business with you. Okay, so a copywriting next. Whenever you communicate to sell, you must answer what's in it for me. So you're not talking about you, you're talking about the benefits, I guess, the outcome that the reader will achieve or experience when they buy your product or service. What's in it for me? Why, and where the value is between what they're going to pay for it and the time they're going to expend and what they're going to get back. What's in it for me? Whenever you communicate to sell, that's what you're answering. That's that tip. And then finally, actually it was just I had to buy new car tyres. And I was really struggling with it because, I mean, I don't know which country you're listening to this in, but here one would ring around and say, well, I want new car tyres for whatever, and they would say, well, do you want budget tyres? Do you want a medium price tyre, or do you want, a performance tyre? And that just makes me very uncomfortable, because what we're really saying is, how much do you want to spend? Fine. But obviously I don't know how much the tyres are. No one wants budget tyres. First of all, it's a trick. No one wants budget tyres. And no one wants performance tyres unless they've got a Ferrari. So everybody goes for the middle ground. So in that space, in that middle ground, there's still a choice. All right, well, you could go for this or you could go for that. But there's no information about even how you make a decision between different car tyres. Now, this matters to me because I'm that kind of personality type. I need that kind of information. Others would just buy on trust from a local dealer that they trust. But I need this information. And when I was ringing around, I knew I needed to buy tyres, but I didn't even know how I was going to make a decision between them. And in the end, I bought from the first person that I called. But and actually, I asked advice from my local garage. Said, how would you buy tyres? And he said, ring around. This one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. I had a friend did it, and he saved £20. But the problem with that is, we're not comparing like with like. You get to that middle price band for tyres, and one is selling you a Dunlop and the other's selling you a Firestone, and how do I know which of those two are better? And I was not aware of any independent testing. Turns out afterwards, no, not afterwards. So I booked in with, I said, well, I'll have those tyres. And then I looked at the the tyre sales people had given me two tyre models, so I knew what product I was buying. So then I could look those up. Okay. And there was a website that stored and delivered user reviews. So fine. And the user reviews of the more expensive tyre was a lot better. So like wet performance, twice as good, noise, twice as good. So for the extra £20 or something for the more expensive tyres, I actually phoned the place back and said, give me the other tyres, please. But the problem is, those were user reviews. Well, first of all, we know that some user reviews are skewed and wrong and purchased and whatever. And the other thing is, how the hell am I supposed to, you know, so I put tyres on, how the hell am I supposed to judge how well they grip in the wet? How am I supposed to know? How am I going to come up with it? Oh, 70% good. It's nonsense. So anyway, I found this site and I actually emailed the tyre place and said, look, you know, here's all this angst that I was in trying to buy a tyre, and I'm a marketing guy, and here's what I ended up doing, and here's why I behave that way. And if you were to provide some kind of guidance to people on the phone along the lines of, well, have you thought about the wet stopping distance? This one's better than that. Or have you thought about tyre? And does tyre noise, road noise matter to you? Okay, well then try and go for this one. That would really help people. And as I was sat in the waiting room waiting for them to fit the cars, a chap came out and said, oh, you're the guy who rang in, whatever. And it turns out there is some international standard and test results that are going to be published with every tyre. So actually that whole thing is going to be resolved by independent testing of the different tyres. And so then you still have the complexity. You kind of go, all right, well, it's called, you know, the fridge. When you go and buy a fridge or, a, you know, or even a house now, you got that, like, A to H, is it? This kind of banding of eco-efficiency. Well, one of the big criteria coming up in tyres is that they will give you an eco rating for the tyre, because some tyres use more fuel than others. So there's that, and then there's wet grip, and then I think there's road noise. So those are the three measurements that you're going to get, and each one is like 73% for wet grip and 42% for road noise, and that tyre is £59 versus the tyre for £64 that's got a wet grip of 52% and a road noise level of 68. There's, you know, how far does that go to help people make their decision? Because that for me is a spreadsheet number crunching exercise. And that's nonsense for buying a tyre. So there's still a big job to be done, but I think the message from all of that is that there are different buyers. I'm a particular kind of buyer, and I was really felt at sea buying those tyres, and that's what I needed. You know, if somebody dealt with that and given me, you know, okay, this is the best tyre for you because of what you've just said, you know, are you bothered about this or that or the other? Okay, well, we put that into the computer and here's the one we recommend. If I trusted that, then you know, that would really help. Or even somebody who said to me, well, you need to think about fuel efficiency, stopping distance in the wet, and road noise. So, you know, what's particularly important to you out of that lot, and guided me through. Fantastic. That's it. Learn your lessons from that as you wish. Okay, I'll be back next week. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.